Welcome to Pilgrim Talk Radio. I'm Reverend Lee Johnson, and with me today, sadly, it's still Reverend Kingswood and Reverend Henry. How are you guys?
Good. Well, I'm fine. Thanks for asking.
Oh, you're welcome.
It's very nice of you.
I thought it was. We are still going through the Catechism, still going through the Apostles' Creed. On Heidelberg Catechism, we're on question 57. It is about the phrase in the Apostles' Creed, the resurrection of the body. The question is, what comfort does the resurrection of the body afford you? And the answer is that not only my soul after this life shall be immediately taken up to Christ, it said, but also that this my body, raised by the power of Christ, shall be reunited with my soul and made like unto the glorious body of Christ. The resurrection of the body is not something you hear discussed a lot in church. You do hear people talking about going to heaven after they die, but you don't hear a lot about the resurrection of the body. What do you think that is that we're missing? Why is it that this ultimate resurrection of our body is so neglected in our churches today?
Maybe because there's an overemphasis on other parts of Christian doctrine. I've heard the same thing talked about glorification. I think that if you have a habit of not going through the scriptures systematically, you're apt to cover just certain particular doctrines that you like, and you avoid other ones. And I think that's the genius of the Reformation, specifically John Calvin's preaching and teaching, is that he preached systematically, expositionally and sequentially. So he started in a book of the Bible and made his way through. And then you cover all the different doctrines because, you know, the bodily resurrection is going to be mentioned. You're going to find it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You're going to find it in Philippians chapter 1. Jesus speaks about there's going to come a resurrection at the last day. John 14, he'll not leave us as orphans. He'll come again, receive us unto himself. So I think that it's just simply a failure to preach and to teach the whole counsel of God, which leaves Christians anemic. We don't have the full strength of the scriptures as we ought as believers because it's not taught.
This, and Scott has made this clear, that, and as you have mentioned, this is the resurrection of our bodies that we believe in.
Yes.
But what is the assurance of that?
That's Christ's resurrection.
Christ's resurrection. So we always have to go back to it, his work of redemption. And if you go back in the Catechism, it's dealt earlier with the benefits that we receive from the resurrection of Christ. And that the benefit of Christ's resurrection is, of course, our salvation from beginning to end, our justification, our sanctification, our glorification. The assurance of that. Recently, I've just been preaching on how Christ shared in our humanity and drawing attention to the Belgic Confession of Faith that emphasizes that Christ assumed a true human nature, right? And when we think about that, okay, Lee, so I'll ask you the question. If I say to you, Christ assumed a true human nature, what do you think of? Do you think of the body?
Yeah.
You do?
I do.
Well, that's because he's a pastor, so he thinks about those things. But do you think it's fair? Then I'll turn to Scott. Seems that you're such a smarty pants today, Lee. Do you think that the average person in the pew, when you talk about a human nature and a true human nature, thinks about the body?
Not too much.
Not too much. And yet the Belgic Confession, when it talks about the incarnation of Jesus Christ.
And you know why I say that?
Why is that?
That's all the Christological heresies that have come up dealing with that, that Christ was not a true humanity.
Right.
Did not have a real body. He was a phantom.
Right, right.
The Gnostic heresy.
And that's all manifestation with John in 1 John chapter 4. He tells us that's the spirit of Antichrist.
Yeah, the docetic heresy.
Yeah, Jesus Christ did not come in the flesh, was not manifest in the flesh, that he did not have a literal physical human body. And that's part the Belgic Confession of Faith in Article 19 dealing with the incarnation of Jesus Christ talks about the truth that it's a human nature as to the body, right? But not only assuming a human nature as to the body, but also a true human soul that he might be a real man. And so we see in the philosophies of man the denigration of the physical, mm-hmm. right? Whether it's a Platonic, that would be Plato's approach or that.
The prison house
of the soul. And really, and some people think that the Christian hope is to be done with these bodies. And yet that's not the Christian hope. Saved in hope. And then Paul in Romans 8, just before I let you
talk to my hand because
you're getting going, Scott. He talks about how we are eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body, for we were saved in this hope, the redemption of our bodies. And again, back to the Belgic Confession of Faith, he assumed human nature as to the body, but also a true human soul, that he might be a real man. For since the soul was lost as well as the body, it was necessary that he should take both upon him to save both. And so we're saved in this hope, the redemption of our body, this hope of we will be clothed with these glorified spiritual, physical bodies, right? And so we have to talk about our belief in the resurrection of our bodies, it always has to go back to Christ's work of redemption and his resurrection, and how important it is that we affirm that it was a literal, physical, bodily resurrection, because that's also denied, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And liberal theology will deny that. So that there's kind of this wacky spiritualizing of everything. And we don't see how important God's creation of us in his image is in terms of body and soul. Because Adam was shaped out of the dust of the ground, mm-hmm. and then life was breathed into him. And so you have body and soul, and as the catechism says.
Yeah, which I was about to say, over and over, the catechism uses the phrase body and soul, mm-hmm. body and soul.
And all that is necessary for body and soul, all that God promises us, all that we're to ask for, sometimes reverses the order, soul and
just
body.
Just once, actually. I only think it's one time, but it does.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. And is there significance? So,
yeah, and I think that's also to combat the catechism speaking of body and soul continually is to combat that Monophysite heresy of the tripartite.
Why don't you define Monophysite for us?
Monophysis, you know, that's being the nature, regarding to the nature. And there was a teaching going around that said that that Christ was, or not Christ, but man is tripartite, that he has a body, soul, and a spirit. And so there's three parts to man. But if you look and read the scriptures, you'll find out there's more than three parts because there's the bowels of affection, the heart, the mind. And these are just near expressions in scripture that are dealing with the inner man, outer man. And within the inner man, within his soul, I mean, there are some distinctions. You have the emotions, you have the intellect, mm-hmm. you have the will. But, you know, the scripture, Paul says that you have an inner man and an outer man. Mm-hmm. And the inner man is being renewed day by day. The outer man is perishing. And when you start chopping that up, those little fine distinctions, or this is this over here, and this is my soul, and this is you've departed from biblical theology, because man is body and soul. And as you were saying about the resurrection, what can you say but that Christians are not faithful to systematically read through the scriptures? Because if we were, this wouldn't be an issue.
Right.
Because Jesus said, or Paul mentions both in Romans 6, that if we died with him, we shall also be raised with him. Okay, and so the Bible teaches about the resurrection of the body, teaches about Christ's resurrection. We see that demonstrated in scripture, that Christ rose from the dead. And Paul links Christ's resurrection, or our resurrection, with his resurrection. So if he rose and we died with him, we'll rise too.
Right. And if there is no resurrection, like in 1 Corinthians 15,
yeah.
we're of all men the most pitiable.
Yeah. Why? Because that's what Paul says in that 1 Corinthians passage 15. He says this mortal must put on immortality, the corruptible must put on incorruption, that death will be swallowed up in life. And he says it's not that we desire to be unclothed, which right. Peter then relates to putting off the tent of this body,
right.
but further clothed,
right.
glorified.
And you're talking that, and Scott's now referring to 2 Corinthians 5,
right.
where Paul addresses these things.
And yeah, Paul and Peter. Peter and mentions Peter, that about the tent.
In 2 Corinthians
Paul,
5.
2 Corinthians 5.
And it's God who's prepared us for this very thing, and
exactly.
giving us his spirit as the guarantee
Right. And it's, as the Apostle Paul said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Right. We put off this tent, and Paul said also in Philippians 1 the same thing, which is far better, to be absent from this body, be present with the Lord. But also, I think what's overlooked is that every person who ever lived, from Adam to the last person who will ever be born in this world, will rise from the dead. Some to immortality and life, some to immortality and death.
Right. So the resurrection of the just and the unjust.
And the unjust. And Jesus speaks of that also in Matthew 25. The Belgic Confession speaks to that in number 37, Article 37. Yeah. And that everybody is going to live forever. The question is, where will you live? Will you be one who is trusting in Christ as your righteousness to stand before the true and living God? He is your all in all. He is your acceptance into heaven. He is your rock, your refuge. He is your fortress, your hiding place, your deliverer. He is the one who is your propitiation. He expiates your sin. Or will you stand in your own self-righteousness,
right,
in your emptiness, your vanity, which Isaiah says is like filthy rags. But make no mistake, we'll all be raised from the dead, and then we'll all appear before the Son of Man. And isn't it interesting, the Belgian Confession speaks in this way, that all of the hypocrisy and hidden things of man's heart will then be revealed to all. Every idle word that a man has spoken, he will give an account of on the day of judgment. So, yeah, the Bible speaks everywhere of the resurrection of the dead.
And I think that we're going to take a quick break on that, and we'll come back and talk more about this in a minute. Welcome back to Pilgrim Talk Radio. I'm Reverend Lee Johnson. With me, our Fat Albert of the group, Daryl Kingswood.
And Fat Albert of Theology.
Oh, the Fat Albert of Theology,
there,
and his buddy Mushmouth.
Mushmouth.
Reverend Scott.
Now everybody knows. If everybody's wondering why, as soon as the broadcast begins or I come back from a break and it seems like Lee is laughing, because that's all that's going on.
That's mostly what we do.
Yeah, yes. In his demented mind.
No, see, I would be demented if I said I'm the Green Hornet of the group. Have you guys even watched Fat Albert lately?
No. Sorry, we haven't.
Have we? Need some help.
Did you hear that? He just asked us if we watch Fat Albert.
I don't
Albert
have four-year-olds anymore, Lee.
You're missing out. Wow. That's all the good TV.
I've been down that trail, you know. I've been down that
And
path.
The listeners are just like on the edge of their seats right now going, man, I tuned in for this. To find out if those guys have been watching Fat Albert.
That's really the crux of the matter we've talked about, why we go in different directions on vacation.
We talked about why we were going in different directions. When did we talk about
why I go in one direction, you go in another, because you got four-year-olds.
Yeah, okay, that's true.
Right?
Yeah. Well, hey, I remember that conversation.
All right, there you go.
Four-year-olds, it does affect things.
Yeah.
But we're right
and
now.
And it's not that Scott doesn't like children.
I mean, just.
No. Yeah, it's your children.
Been down that path.
Yeah, it's mine. It's just my kids.
It's your kids.
Wow. Just insulting my kids on the radio. Way to go, Scott.
We like your kids better than you, man.
Oh, well, I guess that's a good thing.
Train them right.
Before the break, what were we talking about?
We were talking about the part of the Apostles' Creed that says we believe in the resurrection of the body. And it's in the Apostles' Creed, which means it's a fundamentally important thing.
Yeah.
And I believe I was going to ask you guys about something that Scott sort of touched on and that you touched on, and that's the over-spiritualizing of Christianity today. And this is probably one of the reasons that we neglect such things as the physical resurrection of our bodies. That ultimately today, in almost any Christian pulpit you listen to, the body is a bad thing. I can remember growing up where, you know, drinking and smoking and all these things were sinful and horrible. Beards were a sign that people were an unbeliever. I'm just saying, I grew up that way. That's the way it is. Evil was a lot.
So obviously, you got over that because you're violating your conscience.
I think you
right
probably
now.
Didn't understand that. They were probably referring to women with beards.
No, they weren't.
They weren't. Yeah. You sure it had to do something with the circus when it came to town? And that's
no,
what they were
I
about.
Actually even went into a church once where they had a picture of Jesus and he didn't have a beard.
Oh, wow.
Yep, short hair.
That's a good one.
Really?
No beard.
Wow.
Well, Isaiah did say that they did pluck out his beard.
I don't think it was meant to be that kind of picture, though.
Right. So we're talking about how the over-spiritualization and then just the inherently wickedness of the physical.
Yes. And how that's not what the Bible teaches.
No, because when Adam
would you
was
go?
Created.
If somebody came to you, this is the question that you always ask. So let's say I'm a.
Who always asks?
Today, you!
Today in this broadcast, I've. Here, apparently, I'm you.
I'm you, and you're
I'm
me.
You. Every time Scott refers to me, I'm you.
Hey. Hey, fat hour.
All right, so where would I go
so,
to?
So if I am somebody who comes to you for counseling, okay. And I say, hey, I think all physical things are wicked. I think beards are wicked. I think that that evil is about bodily things. Where are you going to go? Where are you going to teach me in the scriptures? Go.
In terms of that, the flesh or when the body, the physical creation.
What if I come
not,
to you and I say,
I would
look,
go to creation. I would go to
Genesis
creation.
And said everything God made is good.
Yeah, it was good. And then after the creation of man, very good.
Yeah. Then you go to 1 John right. because okay. you then, see that God then, came in the flesh in a body. And if you say that he didn't.
Right.
You're a heretic.
And that's where I went to at the beginning of the broadcast, where we have to go to this the resurrection of our bodies cannot be separated from the resurrection of Christ's body in terms of the sanctity just of the physical is seen in the incarnation of Christ and the necessity that Christ would redeem us. So here I have Hebrews open to Hebrews chapter 2, where it says, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he... This is Christ, the Messiah. He himself likewise shared in the same, right, to redeem body and soul. So, yeah, somebody came, I'd say, you know, first of all, if you think beards are evil, it's probably because you don't like the Boston Red Sox and you got other issues there.
Come on.
Right? But you got to fear the beard.
Fear the beard.
But, you know, and it would say, and then you'd see how they you know, the influences of, you know, certain philosophical ideas where just the physical or certain reading of the scriptures where you see how sin is identified with this mortal flesh, but the flesh is a good thing that has become a bad thing because it's a ruling thing. Mm-hmm. But physically, it was good. It was very good, right? Body and soul. And as referring to the Belgian Confession, Christ took upon himself, in terms of human nature, to be a real man, a body and soul. So you have the physical, and then you have those aspects of our humanity, our nature, that transcend physical explanation. As Scott alluded to, he mentioned intellectual nature, the mind, or the emotion, the heart, the affections, the volitional. And you can't separate those things mm-hmm. within us, can you? All working and interacting. Now, we try to do things like that. There's even people who not only would deny kind of the body or the essential, you know, sanctity of the human body, but then also things like emotions. You have Christians who deny a lot of times emotions. You know, Christianity mm-hmm. has nothing to do with the emotions. It's just the choices we make, right? But, you know, and then I remember as a young Christian, an early Christian, being told that, you know, I just had to make these just cold choices to do things. You know, and I kept thinking, well, when I got redeemed, to become less than human? Because I was human before when I was unregenerate. Mm-hmm. You know, and I did things because I wanted to do things. And I did things with passion. And I did things with desire. And I did things because I wanted to do
them. Same thing you do now.
Exactly. But you have that. So not only in Christian circles do you have this, you know, denigrating of the physical, there's other aspects even of the soul and the non-material essence of who we are, our human nature. You know, they'll deny. There are people today who deny, you flip it over, and they'll deny the role of the mind or the intellect in the Christian faith. And it's just emotion. And you just work yourself up to be a ball of emotion. And that's the Holy Spirit, isn't it? Mm-hmm. You just, it defies explanation. It bypasses the mind. That's how God works, right, Scott? He bypasses the mind and just stirs up our hearts.
Well, not according to Isaiah when he says, come, let us reason together.
What? See, there he goes, trying to throw a monkey wrench into my fun. Right? But yeah. We have those extremes. And so that's where Scott is saying how important the faithful, systematic exposition of the entirety of the Word of God, the whole counsel, so that people have a it's kind of a psychological term, but a truly balanced understanding of the world that God has created, who we are and how he has created us, so that we don't try to, you know, deny essential parts of our humanity. And you see, and right now I'm going through a series of sermons looking at how Christ shared in our humanity, and just looking, just kind of having a Bible study and listening to what the scriptures teach us about the fact that Christ had emotions and affections, and he had sometimes some what you might call negative ones. He got angry, didn't he?
Made a whip of cords.
But yeah. He didn't sin.
Oh, yeah. And we're even told to be angry, right? Mm-hmm. But without sin, to be good and angry, might say. And that's a righteous indignation. But you see those things in Christ. And as I've been saying in the preaching, is if we really want to know what it means to be human, let's consider Jesus. And let's listen to what is revealed to us in the Gospels about him. And we find that he is a true and righteous man. He was fully human, yet without sin. He truly did, as it said, as the children, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, yet without sin. He grew physically. A lot of people, they didn't. He learned obedience.
He grew in wisdom and knowledge.
Right, and he learned obedience how?
Well, by his suffering.
By his suffering. And you find that if somebody's wondering, they might be thinking, Scott's making that up. And Scott makes things up, but
he does.
Not when
we're
talking about biblical stuff. Well, he tries to, but we catch him always. Hebrews chapter 5.
You didn't buy into it. He used to sing with a who.
Hebrews chapter 5, it talks who? About, though who? He was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered, right? And so that's what Scott is referring to. And so we have to see that our whole understanding of ourselves, the whole understanding of our identity, the understanding of our redemption can't be understood apart from Christ. And there's the glory of how God has spoken in time past in various ways, but has now spoken in his Son. And so we look at Scripture and listen to Scripture, and we see he had an intellectual. Christ was a really crafty teacher. And he had insight at times, and understanding and common sense. Sometimes, like things like he'd see the crowd is going to crush him. They're pressing. Hey, get that boat. Let's get out to sea. That's just common sense. That's human.
And it also being an amplification of his voice,
right?
Because throwing it out onto the water, onto the shore.
And you see those.
It's like a megaphone.
Right. All different, those manifestations. If we just read the scriptures carefully. Scott and I were talking on the phone the other day, and he was talking about how, we just don't read the scriptures, to get the scriptures read, but we want to meditate upon them. And that's not, and he was alluding to, and then I kind of nodded off, emptying your mind. Well, he was monologuing. So. evil villain again. Just
kinda
monologuing.
Kind of like what you're doing now?
Yeah, and then he got his cape caught in the fan, and that's when I could get a word in there. But that's the kind of thing but the thing is not emptying mind, but meditating upon Scripture, the mind mulling that over, chewing that over, drawing out the truth. And sometimes just simple things like Jesus was born as a baby. Just think about that. And Mary held in her hands her little boy.
Yeah, and at the same time, upholding the universe by his divine nature.
And now he just blew my mind. Isn't that something? And I always say this as a pastor. When we talk about these things, I'll stop and say, don't you want to worship? Don't you want to worship? Because this is what this is all about, to worship the true and living God. When we start to talk about these profound mysteries that have been revealed to us, the reality of who God is. He's revealed himself in his Son. This, as you've just said, here he is, a little baby, fully man, and yet at the same time fully God, holding the universe.
And as Martin Luther
would
say,
don't you want to worship?
At this time, you are. That's the highest expression of worship, is the preaching of God's word.
Exactly. So we can sing at this moment. And that's back to you, Lee.
And that means it's time to quit.
No, you still got a minute to reflect upon that.
Well, no, I don't want to reflect.
So here's okay. Then I'll monologue a bit more.
Oh, okay.
I'll ride.
We don't want to impose.
I'll ride. I'll ride the pony.
Ride.
Okay.
It's
saddled up. I'm going to ride. As we come, we're coming to the end of these programs on the radio.
Because next week is our last.
Yeah. Emphasizing the in Hebrews, how looking unto Jesus, fixing your eyes on Jesus, consider Jesus with all of these things. Even as we discuss here the resurrection of our bodies, we've got to think about it in the context of the resurrection of Christ in his body. Mm-hmm. And just how important it was that he showed the proof. Thomas, unless I put my finger in, and Jesus comes and says, hey, all right, Thomas,
put your money where your mouth is.
Yeah, here, do it. And he said, and it comes back to what I was just saying. Then he worships my Lord and my God. And that's what this is all about, discussing these things. It's just not theology for the sake of theology.
Mm-hmm.
This is about doxology, yep. Worship. So then that leaves Scott with no time to say anything.
Sorry, Scott.
But I'm sure he'll have something to say next week.
Let's hope so.
I'm sure he's got something to say as soon as these mics go off.
And then you can nod off again, yeah. And nobody will know.
And depending as if he says it with his fist, I might not be saying anything.
Well, I guess that's all for the Ride Pony Ride down, down the hills.
Oh, Ride Sally Ride.
All right. Well, join us next week at 660 KCRO.
I'm just hoping to get my own show.